Now, for the morning message, turn with us, please, to 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 and preach about guidelines for a good soldier. Guidelines for a good soldier. You know, if military soldiers don't have real good guidelines, many times they don't come back, do they? Well, now, spiritual soldiers need guidelines too, don't we? And here in these verses, Paul gives some good spiritual guidelines to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. There are two words in verse number 7 I want you to look at. They're the words consider and the word understanding or understand. Those two words were what Paul wanted to really impress upon the heart of young Timothy, the pastor. You know, if we sometimes get so tangled up with the affairs of life that we sometimes miss the main thought. We sometimes don't even stop to consider what it is that God's trying to say to us, or what God's trying to do with us, or what God's trying to do for us. And if we don't stop and consider, we're not going to understand, are we? So it's extremely important. The main thought he's getting across you to Timothy is, consider these things I'm going to share with you, and the Lord's going to give you understanding in all things. How many times would you have to admit that the affairs of life sometimes cause us not to really consider maybe what God's trying to say to us, or what God's message is in something that's going on in our life? And because we sometimes don't consider, we don't really understand, do we? Well, Paul here assures Timothy, if he'll consider what he's going to say to him, God's going to give him an understanding in all these things. Now, what is it that Paul was going to say to young Timothy? What is so important here that he wants Timothy to consider it and to come to some great understanding about it? It's guidelines how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, God has called every one of us who's a saved individual, God has called every single one of us into an active duty. None of us, it doesn't matter what your age is, if you're retired or not, you're not on the inactive list. You don't retire from serving God. You don't get an honorable discharge when you get 65 and say, well, you know, you served God a long time and you're through. No, no, no. We're every single one of us on active duty. So we can't live our lives like we're on inactive duty, can we? Can I get a witness? Amen. Don't you agree with me in that matter? Yeah. Well, those of us who are at active duty need to consider some things, consider these guidelines on how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And God's going to give us understanding in all these matters. So what is it that Paul was saying to Timothy that we need to hear today? He told Timothy three things from this passage we need to see. First of all, he said, Timothy, you need to fortify your life. Look in verse 1 there and also in verse number 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able also to teach others also. Now, what Timothy needed in his life was a good spiritual fortifying. What every one of us need as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need our lives fortified, don't we? Something special here he wants Timothy to relate to about fortifying our lives. Now, Paul told Timothy two particular things about fortifying his life that we need to see and consider and understand today. He said, first of all, Timothy, you need fortifying in your life, in your convictions. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we all know, don't we? We've tried it in the flesh, haven't we? To be strong, every one of us has, if we'll admit it. And we also, every one of us must admit, when I try to be strong in the flesh and be strong in myself, I fail 100% of the time. What about you? We know the Bible teaches us that the arm of flesh will fail you. So that's why he told Timothy, Timothy, be strong in your convictions in the Lord Jesus, not in yourself. Well, you can have confidence when you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. Put your convictions in Him and you know He's going to give you the grace and knowledge and understanding of all things, and God's going to bring you through whatever it is you have to face. You can always depend on, Paul said to Timothy, and the Holy Spirit says to us, you can always depend upon the grace of God. I can hardly, if ever, depend upon myself. And neither can you. But I can always, 100% of the time, always depend upon the grace of God in Christ Jesus. That'll make us strong in the Lord. That'll fortify our lives, our convictions. You know, there's not a lot of strong convictions anymore. If you stop to think about it, look around you. There's so much, I hate to even use the word, but compromising, that might be the right word. Giving in, letting go, standing back, not standing up. There's very little conviction anymore. We've got to have some convictions in these last days. Remember, we're soldiers. We're in active conflict. We better have some good convictions because we're going to face active conflict almost every day that you and I live. So my life needs fortifying. How about yours? When people are just falling away today, from the church, the great awakening has awakened, and now the great falling away is upon us. He said, Timothy, you need your convictions fortified. Timothy was going to face a battle, not so much as Paul, but he was going to face a real battle in his life. And beloved, you're going to face one too. So our lives need to be fortified in our convictions. But also, our lives need to be fortified in the commission to which God has called us. Did you hear what he said in verse 2? Look at verse 2 again. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice the progression of the body of the truth of God's Word. Notice how it comes. Somebody, Jesus himself, indoctrinated Paul. Paul, in turn, passed down that body of truth to young Timothy, and of course to others too. And he says, now Timothy, your life needs to be so fortified that the body of truth that has been handed down to you, it's like a link in a chain, okay? He's speaking here, I'm sure, of when Timothy was ordained to be a minister. He said, you've received this by me in the face of many witnesses. When Timothy was ordained, the body of God's Word was handed down to him. And he said, Timothy, now you need to hand this same body of truth down to other faithful men who can also teach others the body of truth. Now think about it. Think about it in your life. Who handed down the gospel truth to you? Somebody before you, right? Who do you suppose handed down the gospel truth to that one who handed it down to you? You just follow the chain backward. And you see where it makes us a strong link in the chain of the gospel, that what's been delivered to us, we faithfully deliver that to other people who are faithful, who can also teach other people. That makes the gospel chain strong, and no chain is any stronger than its weakest link. I don't want to be the weakest link, do you? So if I want my life fortified in the Great Commission, we've been commissioned of the Lord. He said, go ye therefore into all nations, the whole world. Find those who are lost. Win them to Christ. Baptize them. teach them to observe so that they in turn can hand down the body of truth. Just like Paul did to Timothy and somebody did to you, somebody did to me, we can hand it down to others. That way, you see, the strong, good, faithful soldier stands and the work goes on and the victory continues. So you see, Timothy, your life's got to be fortified. Christians today, our life has to be fortified in our convictions as well as our commission. But he said something else to Timothy. He said, Timothy, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, your life doesn't just need to be fortified, it needs to be sanctified. Look at verse number 4 there, if you will. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now you know as well as I, the word sanctify simply means to set apart or to be set apart. Our lives are to be exclusively. When you get saved by the grace of God, your life is supposed to be exclusively sanctified, set aside exclusively for the glory of God and the use of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he told Timothy. Timothy, your life's got to be sanctified. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to us today, to every one of us who knows the Lord. Our lives have to be set aside, sanctified. Paul uses an example here of a soldier who, or a man of war who's going into war. He says two things about this sanctified man of war. He says, first of all, the affairs of your life have to be sanctified unto the Lord, just like a soldier. Listen, we all know that the affairs of our lives have to be dealt with, don't they? Paul's not advocating here just, you know, abandoning everything in the world, in your whole life, and not taking care of your family, not paying your bills, not treating your neighbor right, and doing this and that and the other. He's not talking about just abandoning life. He's talking about setting those things aside and let God sanctify them for His glory and for His good in your life and mine. Now, he told Timothy, Timothy, as a good soldier, you're going to endure hardship. And we do. We know that we are. In Timothy's day, there was no organized army as we have today. But every man was always on call during the affairs of his life. If the trouble signal was given, if there was an imminent danger, all the men had to drop what they were doing and come and assemble themselves to prepare for battle. That was the way it was done in Timothy's day. We know we have an organized army today. But nonetheless, when that battle call was sounded, those men left their homes, they left their families, they left their occupations, they left everything, the affairs of life, and they reported for duty to go to battle. Isn't that what the Lord's called us to do? Now listen, the battle call's already been sounded. The trumpet's already blown. The battle is raging. The war is on. What we need to do is get off the inactive list and get on the active front and start serving the Lord and being there for God to use us. Sanctify the affairs of our lives. I remember when I was going to Bible college and seminary many years ago, I had to be away from my family a lot. It really hurt to have to set my family, kind of set them aside, so to speak, and go off to Bible college and seminary and be gone from my family. I missed them. I loved them. I wanted to be there. But I knew God wanted me to do that. So God took care of my family while I was away. If you'll sanctify the affairs of your life, I promise you God will take care of whatever it is you have to put aside temporarily to serve the Lord. He always will. It says in the Scriptures, if a man gives up anything, even a cup of water in the name of our Lord, he'll not lose his reward. And those who give up things to serve the Lord and sanctify those affairs of life, God just blesses and blesses and blesses and continues to bless. Now, a good soldier in Timothy's day, a good soldier of the cross today will not allow, listen to me now, will not allow any affairs of his life interfere or deter him or detain him from doing what God has called him to do. You may not think God's called you. You may think, well, what could God do with me? I'm nothing. I can't do it. Listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're already called. You're already chosen. There's already something that God has for you to do. So you have already been called. The Bible teaches us. God takes the things that are of low degree, the Bible says, to set at naught the things of high degree. He sets those of low degree to bring down the things that are in notoriety. So you see, there's no excuse you can give and say that, well, God can't use me. I'm no good. Oh, yes, you are. God's called you. Sanctify the affairs of your life that God can use you. And don't let anything deter you or detain you from doing whatever it is God's called you to do. So our lives need to be fortified. Our lives need to be sanctified, the affairs of our lives. But then he says to Timothy, Timothy, you're going to have to sanctify the afflictions of your life just as well to the Lord. Look what he said in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, you can expect hard times to come your way. And he did. We know from history he did. Who would be a better example to tell somebody else about hard times than the Apostle Paul? Paul was hated. Paul was rejected. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was snake bitten. All the things you could ever imagine in your life, he was hated, and he attempted to kill him on more than one occasion. But yet, did it let Paul let this deter him? No. Did this detain him? No. So Paul's a good example to tell Timothy, Timothy, you're going to have hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If you're not having some kind of hard time as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you may not be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if you are, you're going to have some hard times. You're going to have some afflictions. You're going to be hated. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be persecuted. I've had 2 death threats in my life in the ministry. So I know from my experience, you're going to be hated. And there's going to be persecution. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Never in my years of living I ever seen the church, the real New Testament church, as hated by the general public as it is today. And there seem to be passing laws every day that's trying to restrict what the church does. So we're being hated, we're being rejected, we're being persecuted to a point, and there's hardness, even more hardness that's going to come that we've never seen yet. So he said, just get ready, Timothy. You can expect it, church. Get ready. You can expect it. It's going to come. It came to Jesus, it came to Paul, and it came to Timothy, and it's going to come to us. If you don't have it now, bear up, fortify your life, sanctify your life. It's going to come. Now listen, Paul didn't ever, I'm sure, enjoy the afflictions in his life. And I'm sure Timothy didn't enjoy the afflictions in his life, did they? I think not. I don't necessarily, what you say, enjoy the afflictions that come in my life. You don't have to enjoy them, but you have to endure them, don't you? Here's a good thing about it. He's telling Timothy, as well as he experienced, you will endure these things, but you will not have to endure them alone. Amen. Amen. I have a fellow soldier right by my side and in me who faces every affliction that I face, every affair that I face in my life, whatever it may be, he's always there. Just learn to sanctify, set apart those things unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God will bless you for it. Look how he blessed Paul. Look at the great spiritual work that Paul did for the Lord. How God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him through all the affairs and afflictions that he had, because he sanctified those unto the Lord. You couldn't defeat the Apostle Paul. Do you know why? His life was fortified. His convictions, his commission to what he was called to do. He was sanctified. All the affairs of his life were sanctified to the Lord. All the afflictions of his life were sanctified unto the Lord. But he said, Timothy, there's one more thing I want to share with you. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to have your life fortified. And you've got to have your life sanctified. But Timothy, your life has to glorify the Lord. Look at verse 4 and following. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Not only does our lives today need to be fortified and sanctified, our lives today need to glorify the Lord. The one who, Paul says to Timothy, the one who has called you to be a soldier, the one who has called us into His service, the one who has saved us by His marvelous grace, He's the one who calls us. And listen, any good soldier will do his best, he'll give his all for the one officer or officers above him who have trained him, who have called him, who have helped him, who have shown him, who serve alongside him. He'll do anything he can to please them, will he not? Amen. He keeps his life in order. He knows how to take orders and obey orders. So he says to Timothy, Timothy, your life needs to glorify the Lord. Now listen, didn't Paul's life glorify the Lord? And I think Timothy's life did a great deal too. What about our lives? The lives that we live on a daily basis. Our lives are on daily display before the whole world. Do the lives that we live daily show to others, without even speaking a word, just show to them that our lives glorify the Lord. Now think about it. God's chosen you to glorify Him. If you don't believe that, go over there in the book of Isaiah, sometime chapter 43, and God says, I have chosen you, I have created you for my glory. So He says, Timothy, your life needs to glorify the Lord. Now listen, there's two things He says here to Timothy that we really need to consider and really need to understand about glorifying the Lord. Here's what He says to Timothy. First of all, He says, Timothy, to glorify the Lord, you have to compete lawfully in obedience unto the Lord. Look at verse 5. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Here Paul switches gears and he starts talking about an example of an athlete, one who trains and he strains and he prepares day after day after day, and he gets his body ready for the very time when that event must take place, that race or whatever it is. That he waits for that day. He's prepared. He's ready. He's striven lawfully. He's done it obediently. Now, nobody could participate in the Greek games. Maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't. Nobody could participate in the Greek games. And Greeks prided themselves on personal, bodily strength. But nobody could participate in the Greek games except a person was a full-born Greek citizen. Now, what does that say to us? If we're going to strive lawfully to glorify the Lord, no one can strive lawfully except he or she is a full, newborn child of God. We should be the ones He's talking about here who strive lawfully. Those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, who knows that we've been born again, we're the ones who compete lawfully and nobody else can. This speaks to us about our King. Think about those games. Those runners or participants, whoever they may be, they'd do the game, whatever it was, and at the end of that game, whoever was the winner would come up to that great colonnade of stairs. At the top of that stairs would be a seat. And many times the emperor himself would be there to award the laurel to the one who had won. That person would climb up those colonnade of stairs and he'd stand there, and the emperor himself might take a little green laurel, halo we'd call it, and just put that on his head. Just a little green twisted form of olives. But what a great notoriety this man had, who had striven, who had been obedient, who had competed, and who had surpassed all others, and he had won the prize. That little prize would be wilted in a few days. Think about your life. As we strive to serve the Lord, as we compete for Him, and we want to please Him who's called us, we are to train and strive and be and do all that we can so that when our time comes, and our time will come, when this life's over, We will stand before our Lord. What kind of crown are we going to have? What kind of crown is He going to present us? Now, we all know that if we've been saved, we get the crown of life. Everybody gets that who's saved. But what else are we standing before the Lord expecting? Or are we expecting any kind of crown at all? He says, Timothy, you must glorify the Lord. Compete lawfully. Serve Him obediently. Well, he says something else about this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, to glorify the Lord, you must compete lawfully, but you must consider your labor in the Lord. Look at verse 6. The husbandman, he switched his terms again from the soldier to the athlete, now to the farmer, I would say. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He moves from the soldier analogy to the athlete analogy. Now he moves to the farm term analogy. Anybody who knows anything about farming knows there's a lot of hard work a farmer has to undergo to get to the harvest, right? There's got to be plowing of the ground. There's got to be sowing of the seeds. There's got to be the plants that come up has to be cultivated and fertilized and nurtured. And after the time comes from plowing, eventually there comes the harvest. But from the plowing to the harvest, a lot of hard work goes by the farmer. Listen, everything the farmer does is always in preparing for the harvest. If he wasn't looking for a harvest, he wouldn't even plow the ground. He wouldn't sow the seed. He wouldn't fertilize. He wouldn't cultivate. He wouldn't spray for insects. He wouldn't do any of those things if he wasn't looking for a harvest, would he? And listen, if the farmer puts forth no labor, there will be no harvest. Now you get that. If the farmer doesn't put forth, I mean labor, hard labor, there'll be no harvest. And listen, there's nothing glorious, nothing spectacular about the life of a farmer, is there? He waits on animals, has a tough job. Just day by day by day, he does some of the same things over and over and over. Nobody glorifies a farmer. I've seen a bumper sticker on somebody's car one time that said this, "Don't criticize a farmer with your mouth full." Amen? Farmer has to work hard. But he's got the harvest in mind. Is it any different spiritually? Now, honestly, is it? If there's going to be a spiritual harvest, some farmers spiritually are going to have to do some work. Amen? There's got to be some hard ground plowed. There's got to be some seed sown, some cultivating done, some fertilizing going on. And then comes the harvest. Now, how am I sure that's going to happen? Well, I take the Word of God as my authority. The Bible says in Psalm 126, it says, "He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him." What does that say? If you'll be the spiritual farmer, you take the seed, you plant the seed, one day you'll have a harvest, a true spiritual harvest, to bring unto the Lord with glorifying gladness and happiness in your life. Listen, soldiers' lives are spectacular many times. So are athletes' lives, as we see day to day. But who glorifies a farmer? What's so special about a farmer? You think about next time you take a bite of food and you'll think it's pretty special. Next time you go to a farmer's market and you buy some beautiful fresh vegetables and things, you ought to just stop and bow your head and thank a farmer. Amen? I hear them always talking about thank a teacher if you can read. I do. Thank a vet if you're free, and we do. You ought to stop sometime and thank a farmer. Amen? Amen. Well, think about your farming spiritually. You plant the seed. You plow the ground. Sanctify it into God's hands. And God will get the glory one day. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What about you? I want my life fortified in my convictions on the Word of God and my convictions about the Christian life. And I want to be faithful to the great commission that God's given us to go forth and win people to Jesus and baptize them and help them to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I want my life fortified that we can do that, don't you? I want my life sanctified, set apart from the things of the world, my afflictions as well as my affairs of life. Set them apart to the Lord. He'll take care of them. He'll bless you in the process. And then I want my life above everything else to bring honor and glory and praise to the one who has called me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He saw something in you, beloved, that He called you to. He loves you. He called you. He wants to fortify you and sanctify you that you and we together might glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. What about a good soldier? Are you one? I'm sure nobody would ever say, well, yeah, I'm a good soldier. All of us has room to grow, don't we? But one thing about it, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a soldier. And you've been called to active duty. He wants to fortify you and sanctify you that we might bring Him the honor and glory that He so deserves from each and every one of us. But it all begins as we strive lawfully in obedience to our Lord's command to be born again by the grace of God. There's where it begins. Before any planting or sowing or cultivating or harvesting can be done, seed's got to be planted in you and in me, that we might be the true spiritual farmer that we need to be, the good soldier we need to be, the good athlete we need to be. So where is it in your life? What do you expect when you stand before the Lord one day and the very book that contains the record of your life, He holds in His hand and He reviews your life? What's He going to say about you? Think about it, because it's going to be a reality one day. And sooner than most of us ever think. Amen.